Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Hi, folks. Thanks for joining us. I'm Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschooled dad. And I care about my children and the future of this nation. By the way, you don't have to be a homeschooled dad to tune into us, but you need to care about the future of this God-blessed nation, and I assume that includes most of you out there. It's great to have all of you tuned in with us. I've got issues today, as I always have issues. Issue number one, my son turned 13 last Saturday. We gave him his first .22 rifle. We're teaching our son the basic importance and elements of gun control. Always shoot straight. There it is. Issue number two, tolerance. I want to bring up tolerance because, well, number one, this great irony and hypocrisy is what Rush Limbaugh has been making millions of dollars off of for the last 20 years of his career. Liberals preach tolerance. We all know that. But they are the most intolerant. It's incredible. Quite a bit of hypocrisy there. Liberals are preaching tolerance in France. Religious symbols, I don't know if any of you know this, religious symbols have been outlawed in French schools. It's against the law to wear religious symbols. And President Chirac has asserted that now the official religion in France is secularism. So therefore, take off the other religious symbols and wear the secularist symbols. Well, Swedish pastors are in prison because they have the nerve to teach out of Leviticus and Romans. And this I didn't know until I got an email last week. Arnold Schwarzenegger is looking at a bill in California. He's looking to sign the bill. It's SB 1234. Basically, it's saying that if you preach from Leviticus or Romans, it's a hate crime. The bill is 34 pages long. I downloaded the thing. So that in itself is scary. So I'm sure we're breaking the law right now, but I want to let you in on a little secret here. The real agenda of the left is this. When the liberals, what they really want is for good people to tolerate evil in society just long enough for the evil to destroy the good. Let me follow that through one more time. This is the secret of the liberal leftist strategy. If you can just get good people to tolerate evil long enough for the evil to destroy the good, then you got the agenda of the left. There it is. Issue number three. I just came back from a week-long camp down in New Mexico with a slew of teens from Impact. And I'm telling you, folks, God has not abandoned this country. There's a new generation of young people. I worked with them this last week. They are fantastic. They are ready to make a break from the anemia, the complacency that seems to have marked much of conservatism, at least. And they're not amalgamating into the culture. These teens are streaming out of good, solid homes, sometimes homeschools, not always homeschool. They're streaming out of these homes, and they're not half-baked socialists and clear-headed, worldview-conscious, intelligent young people, and they're motivated. Some of you may have read the World Magazine editorial from Joel Beltz. Joel Beltz, the editor there, suggested that homeschooled teens may serve to provide a mighty political force not unlike the labor unions of the last generation. And folks, they're getting top-notch training from Summit Ministries, Dr. David Noble, we had him on this program, Bill Jack and Worldview Academy, Bill helps us on this program too, and of course, Team Pact. God has not abandoned this nation. There is a new generation rising. Reasons for hope. Okay, issue number four, we're going to take on the homosexual issue today. And I want to caution families that are listening right now, this is not going to be content appropriate for young children. So you might get them involved somewhere else today. But this is an issue that is not going to go away. I mean, folks, you have not seen anything yet. It is trouncing our institutions. It's coming on like a 600-foot tidal wave. The homosexual movement is hell-bent to take control over educational facilities. They want our children indoctrinated as early as possible. They want adoption rights, and they're getting it. They want anybody preaching against homosexuality in prison. They want homosexuality as the preferred lifestyle. Perversion never stops on the slippery slope. It just doesn't. The North American Man-Boy Love Association just keeps growing in strength. They will come for our children. We know it. It's obvious. It's been on major media. Parents, they want your children. They want your Boy Scouts. They want your children in their youth sports programs. They want the destruction of the nation. They want the end of what God has called good in this nation. They are revolutionary. They want a society that's destabilized. As Jesus said, all those that hate me love death. Now, how are we supposed to respond? How am I supposed to respond? See, I'm a father, and I love my children. I love my country. I'm concerned about the future of this nation. I don't want to be living in Sodom. I don't want our children destroyed by the brimstone thing. I don't want America to turn into some kind of a foul Amsterdam that grapples with sexual perversions on every street corner, drug addictions, and of course, child molestation is huge in Holland today. Does anybody else want it? I don't think so. Well, that's the issue of the program today. Nobody has a better pulse on this nation's slouch towards Gomorrah than my friend Jeff Ventrella. He's an attorney from the Alliance Defense Fund. He's going to be with us today. He's going to tell us where we are, where we're going, and what we're going to have to do about it. This nation is going to survive. All of that in a moment on this program. Don't go away. It's Generations. We'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. It's great to have you tuned in with us today. And we are touching a hot issue today. It's an issue that affects all of us, whether it be on television, in education, or any other institution with which we have to do. It's the issue of homosexuality. It's been growing, certainly the issue of the 90s and this century. Attorney Jeff Ventrella is with us today. He has walked into the fire a number of times on this issue. He works for the Alliance Defense Fund. And for the last year, he has had many, many, many debates with the most militant pro-homosexual forces in universities, law associations, and courtrooms across this nation. Jeff, welcome to Generations.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a real privilege to be with you today.
It's great to have you, Jeff. How long have you been addressing the issue of homosexuality?
I started formally debating the issue last fall, but starting last January, really after the Lawrence versus Texas case, the momentum came. Mm-hmm. And I've been involved in over two dozen formal debates, television, radio, as well as at most of the nation's leading law schools.
Jeff, you couldn't be addressing more of a hotter issue than this. It's everywhere. The controversy is growing, isn't it?
It really is, and I think that's good news because I think the message is very clear now. Mm-hmm. Same-sex marriage is not inevitable. We're getting the word out that the United States Supreme Court has in fact ruled many years ago, many decades ago, against same-sex marriage as a federal proposition. Most people didn't know that. Now they do know it, particularly with our victory we had in the California Supreme Court recently, about a month ago. Finally, I think the people are beginning to realize that same-sex marriage loses whenever a state puts that issue before the voters. That was true in Hawaii in response to a liberal court decision. That was true in Alaska in response to a liberal court decision. That was true by the people of Nebraska, the people of Nevada, and just recently the people of Missouri.
So the major issue is really not the legislatures or the people across this nation. The issue seems to be the courts.
Exactly the case. The courts are used as the cutting edge of those who have a same-sex marriage agenda, which is a part of a larger homosexual agenda that's designed to, in a sense, invert and deconstruct the structure of the family that's been since time beginning.
Are the homosexuals, the homosexual lobby, getting more and more aggressive as time goes by, or is it just my perception that's the case?
They are getting more and more aggressive, Kevin. There was a time, a lull period, that occurred, but just recently one of our lawyers was verbally accosted in the courtroom by a particular homosexual activist dealing with the Louisiana case, again, which we just won 2 days ago, putting that matter back on the ballot before the people. This person was in this young lawyer's face, and his parting shot was, "I wouldn't even date you," as if that's insulting.
Well, we've certainly seen the effects of it in the courtrooms. Now the legislatures and the people, through referendum, et cetera, are really fighting back. Let's talk about the problem of homosexuality. It wasn't that much of an issue back in the 1970s. It's become a problem today. Is that because it's growing?
It is growing, not in terms of those people practicing it. It's growing in terms of this false notion of toleration. Back in the 80s, two homosexual men named Kirk and Madsen respectively, came forth with a plan. Literally, they wrote up a plan, and what they decided to do was to deal with what they called straight America.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to have straight America. They wanted to, in fact, change straight America. And in their writings, they made it very, very clear that they had a six-point program to talk about the, quote, the overhauling of straight America. And so now we're just seeing that that plan has wheels, and we're seeing the fruit of that plan launched 20 years ago coming into the forefront through the media, through politics, and most recently through the courts.
Now, Jeff, you hear a lot of conservatives talking about homosexuality as being a social problem, and a lot of these conservatives are saying it's bad because, you know, so many people get AIDS and you have all this money that's spent on this problem. Jeff, what is the fundamental problem with homosexuality? Are these conservatives addressing it in the proper way?
Well, the conservatives are looking at the effect of this particular behavior, but the fact of the matter is the fundamental problem with it is that a deviation from God's design for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Far too often in our culture, we have this idea that sexuality is on a continuum. On the one hand, heterosexuality, moving toward the middle, bisexuality, and then on the other extreme, homosexuality. That's not a biblical, it's not a creational understanding of sexuality. Rather, you ought to think of it as a cone, a three-dimensional cone. At the top, you see what God did as a creational ordinance, saying that marriage is quantitative and qualitative. It's quantitative in that there are only two people that are involved. It's qualitative in the sense that it's one man and one woman. Any deviation from that apex of that cone is going to create societal problems, whether that's adultery, fornication, bisexuality, homosexuality, polygamy, polyandry, polyamory. Any of those deviations cause the problem. So the fundamental problem is a deviation from what God has put in His Word, but also by creational mandate.
And once you abandon that standard, man, you're up for grabs for anything. I mean, somebody would be marrying their cell phone after a while.
You're exactly right.
Now, Jeff, let's talk about the gay agenda. They obviously said, okay, we're going to cut loose the moorings of any kind of a transcendent ethic, but what happens? What are they going for? What's their agenda?
Their agenda is to essentially deconstruct any normativity of relationship. Paul put it in religious terms, idolizing autonomy. Basically, self-worship. Basically, I can do whatever I want to do. And they've got a six-point agenda to make that happen. They've written about it. It's been documented. Their intention there is to make autonomy the idol, what I choose to do. And so they go hand in hand. Did you ever wonder why so many radical pro-abortionists walk hand in hand with those pushing the homosexual agenda? The common link is autonomy. They want to be, as the psalm says, breaking the bonds of the Son, Psalm 2. And they want to walk in their own self-determination, which, of course, as Scripture says, there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death.
But what happens to a society that begins to cut these moorings loose, especially at this basic level of one man, one woman in the marriage?
You know, a sociologist studied that, an anthropologist named Joseph Unwin.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't happen last year. This happened clear back in the 1920s and 1930s.
Okay.
And what he wanted to do was prove that sexuality had no impact in anthropology or sociologically.
Mm-hmm.
He was surprised. His findings found that sexual regulation within the culture manifestly impacts the culture economically. It impacts the culture and its future. That means its children and so forth. And what he found was a society that deviates from God's design for marriage, and Unwin was not a Christian, but deviates from what he termed absolute monogamy, one man, one woman for life with fidelity, that culture will suffer the impact in 40 years. We're beginning now to see that. That impact is increased economic destabilization. You're seeing the growth of the welfare state try to deal with all these problems that occur, the out-of-wedlock children, the fatherless and the motherless children that are necessary to any same-sex relationship. Same-sex marriage, for example, declares to the world mothers and fathers are irrelevant. One of them is irrelevant. And it creates by design and by police power fatherless and motherless environments. that has huge negative impacts, huge repercussions as a society goes historically.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Jeff Ventrella from the Alliance Defense Fund on an issue that will make or break our civilization. The next generation hangs on this program, folks. Hang in there. We'll be back in just a moment with more of Generations. Ladies and gentlemen, God's tuned in and he cares. And we care about the issues that are hot today. The issue of homosexuality is what we're discussing today with attorney Jeff Ventrella from the Alliance Defense Fund. My name is Kevin Swanson. It's good to have you tune in with us. Jeff, let's ask the question, though. How does this issue impact the average family out there? Because I think there's some folks out there thinking, man alive, we don't have homosexuality anywhere near our family, in our neighborhood, whatever it is. Does this issue really impact a family?
It really does. One of the rhetorical arguments is made is exactly that. What does it harm my marriage? And I think we need to think deeply about this.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that marriage is a confers communitarian benefits. It's just not about fulfilling needs. Mm-hmm. Rather, it confers benefits upon the society at large, and it creates the mechanism by which we propagate the future of society. If everyone can do what's right in their own eyes sexually and relationally, you have essentially chaos instead of an ordered culture. So it does impact us. Second thing I'd note is people who are saying that the sky hasn't fallen since Massachusetts and so forth haven't recognized that the harm that occurs is long-term harm. It occurs after, as Professor Unwin said, 40 years or so, one generation. And so I like to talk about people who say there's no harm are talking like asbestos or tobacco lawyers. If a person smokes tobacco on one day, the next day you don't expect that he's going to have problems with his lungs. But if he smokes 4 or 5 packs of cigarettes each day for the next 30 years, we can deduce that there's going to be some problem with his health. And that's the nature of the harm that occurs.
We may not have homosexuality in our own homes, but we are part of this culture. We watch television. We see road signs. We have friends. We have contacts. And beyond that, we've got families that are falling apart because of basic crumbling happening at the foundation. It's really not a nice world we're living in today.
That's really true. And this started not with homosexuality so much as a deprecation of marriage as that fundamental institution.
Mm-hmm.
One of the keys there was the allowance of no-fault divorce. That made it, again, autonomy. The whole idea that a lot of the same-sex marriage advocates will tell you is, look, what's wrong with marrying the person I want to marry? Don't I have the right to be fulfilled? Well, the fact of the matter is, if you ask that on college campuses and law school campuses, as I have, where did people first hear that? Where they first heard that rhetoric of, I just want to be fulfilled, was when dad walked out on the family to be with someone else or some other man, which does happen. And so that sort of situation, the root of it is misunderstanding the vow before God of what marriage is, misunderstanding the channeling of sexual expression to occur only in marriage. And so you're right. But there's a positive side of this. And the positive side of it, we can recapture the vision the Lord has given us to rear our children and to instruct them. And God's Word gives us a very clear curriculum to do that.
Jeff, let's talk about your family for a moment. You have children.
I do.
How are you preparing your family in the sort of culture we're finding right now?
I think there's three options when we look at our culture. We can either accommodate it completely,
mm-hmm.
and therefore the salt loses its saltiness.
Right.
We can run from it and make it Christ against culture and therefore hide out and just wait for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can do what Jesus calls us to do, and that's transform the culture.
Right.
So with my family, this is not a taboo subject.
Mm-hmm.
This is a subject that's under God's protection, his sovereignty. And we talk about it in age-appropriate ways, of course, dealing with the conduct. But we talk about what God has purpose for man and what women. We talk about what God has purpose with respect to husbands and wives loving one another. We talk about that the gospel is depicted by husband loving wife, just as Christ loved the church. And those kinds of things set forth the normativity. And then we talk about three different things. Psalm 78 tells us, if you want to influence the next generation, and if you want to influence the generation after that, our children's children, what you must be sure to do is to tell them about who God is, to tell them about the wondrous works of God, and to tell them about God's law.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the works of God, we have to instruct our children in terms of two things. Number one, his works of redemption. That's critical to understand. They need a Savior who is a Redeemer. Secondly, we need to instruct them in the works of God in history, providentially. What God has done, the wonderful history of our country, the wonderful history of many Christian men and women in our Western civilization, so on and so forth.
Okay.
And then thirdly, we need to talk about this idea of God's law. We're not to run from God's law. We ought to embrace God's law as it relates to these issues. And that gives them a firm normative foundation. God's promise is this. If we teach those three areas, he will be faithful to them to the next two generations.
Jeff, I want to jump on something you just said. You said we're not afraid of the issue, and I want to bring up the term homophobic, which is used of us from time to time on the other side. But you're not afraid, then, of homosexuality. Is it possible to be afraid of it and therefore not be able to confront it in a right and wise way?
I think so. I think that what's happened is we've done something that we ought not to do. We've objectified that particular sin in a way that we don't do other kinds of sin. And we use the yuck factor, and it is disgusting.
Yeah.
There's no question that people say you're homophobic. I say I'm homo-repulsive. Yeah. I'm repulsed by what you are doing.
As we should be with all of our sin, though, because the homosexual wasn't the only sinner in town.
Exactly, and that's a very important point. But I think there's also homophobia-phobia,
mm-hmm.
and we get afraid to be categorized instead of letting God defend our reputation.
Mm-hmm.
We ought not to back away from this battle. This is where the battle's raging right now, and we need to confront that in a gentle, patient, redemptive-oriented way, but yet in a way that does not compromise the righteousness that God's standard demands.
You know, Jeff, if you look at how homosexuality has affected our culture, its influence is really tremendous. In fact, they've even changed our language. Gay used to mean happy. Now it means a miserable sinner who's just having a hard time figuring out which way is up in terms of ethics. But why don't you just spend a moment and just talk about how homosexuality could affect families in ways in which we don't even realize?
Well, I think you touched on something very important. He who defines wins. And what I mean by that is we've got to recapture the public square by using the right language. And one way we should not do that is just to throw Bible verses at people. We need to truly dialogue, but we need not to compromise in terms of language. I know Christians, good godly Christians, that use gay all the time in an inappropriate way. The Flintstones changed the theme song. It used to say, "We'll have a gay old time." They changed it under pressure to say, "We'll have a great old time." I've seen good Christian men and women talk about equality for same-sex couples when the fact is we need to be talking about what I like to call a square circle, same-sex marriage. They don't go together, and we ought not to make it easy for them to go together. And so in our families, we need to be speaking what is true. We need to use biblical language. Don't talk about being addicted to, say, alcohol. Talk about being a drunkard. Well, in the same way, don't talk about someone who has an orientation. Talk about someone who's sexually sinning.
And that's basically the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Jeff Ventrella. He's from the Alliance Defense Fund on this issue of homosexuality. It is impacting our culture, whether you know it or not. And we're going to be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about this. We are in the midst of the War of the World Views, and there is one radio program giving you full coverage. It's Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back in a moment. We are on the quest to save the West, Western civilization as we know it. My name is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. And the topic today is homosexuality. Jeff Ventrella from the Alliance Defense Fund is with us today. And Jeff, let's get back into strategy for a moment, because we know on the one side there's a strategy to bring homosexuality more into the public limelight and make it more acceptable. What do you think is the strategy of the homosexual lobby now?
Well, they're doing a couple of things. They're certainly filing lawsuits to stop legislatures from being active. Now, I think that's very telling. It reveals a kind of a crab notion of what the law is to be about, not simply judicial decisions, but the people working through the processes. You'll find that most of the same-sex marriage advocates are using corporate America to impose their agendas rather than various kinds of legislatures at this point.
I've heard a bunch of guys talk about that.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. Well, for example, in Minneapolis, they have a provision that says if your business contracts at so many dollars with that city, then your corporation must give and provide all these different kind of benefits for domestic partners and same-sex couples and whatnot. And so it's a coercive use of the contracting power to do that. And we're challenging those kinds of actions. We believe they're unconstitutional and violative of a number of provisions.
Mm-hmm. Now, what should be our strategy? Obviously, you guys are going after the courts as best as you can. Will legislatures be ultimately where we begin to see some progress in the direction of protecting the family?
I think we will, because the family is something that rises or falls by definition.
Mm-hmm.
It's a definitional issue.
Right.
And that's why, for example, a federal constitutional amendment does not violate any notion of federalism, because it simply defines, it doesn't regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the legislators all over the country, both local, which I think is important, localism, as well as on a federal level, when we define things, mm-hmm. that's how we see some progress. And that's where I think our efforts need to be. I would say our efforts, Kevin, have to be efforts of being intercessors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, the Bible says that truth stumbled in the public square. And it displeased God. He was astonished by it. But he says what really displeased him, and I'm paraphrasing, is there was no one to intercede.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our marching orders, living life in Babylon, are to intercede when truth does stumble in that public square. And we need intercessors who petition, those who pray. We need intercessors, frankly, with purses, those who provide funds to allow the activists to work, and we need, frankly, pugilists, those who go into the courtroom and into the legislatures and into the public policy realms and deal with these issues in the public square.
And that's you.
That's exactly right.
All right. It seems to me that a lot of people just can't bring themselves to the point where they care about it. Have you noticed that? It just sometimes it's hard to really care about the homosexual issue. They're so aggressive. And it's an issue that people want to be distant from. They don't want to be bothered with. And we had a hard time. We had a federal marriage amendment rally here in Colorado, and very few people showed up for it. We were very disappointed with the turnout. But it just seems as if this is not an issue that is really bringing folks out.
Well, I'm afraid that is true. And that's one reason I'm so thankful for programs like Generations to begin to prick the heart that God may be pleased to use. People don't care because, frankly, they're being self-oriented. Again, they've bought into the lie that marriage is an individualistic choice,
mm-hmm.
a libertarian, a volitional choice, as opposed to a communitarian benefit that affects everyone, including our children's children. And there is apathy. And, of course, this is no surprise to God. The Scripture tells us that, frankly, judgment does begin with the house of the Lord.
Right.
Jesus condemns the salt that's lost its saltiness. Jesus condemns the religious leaders of the day for being more concerned about their own agendas and the commandments of men rather than the commandments of God. And so this is a persistent problem that is, again, manifesting itself in our culture. And people don't care about this issue because, you know, who likes to get shouted at or worse?
Right.
Who likes to discuss the disgusting conduct that's involved that creates a myriad of health concerns? But if we don't do it, if not us, then who?
And who likes death threats?
Yep, that's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, you know, I think it comes down to this. The bottom line is either get fired up or get ready to go through the fire. Because either way, you're going to have fire.
We have to surrender.
You got it. You got it. Okay, let's talk about strategy just a little bit more in terms of how to address the arguments the homosexuals bring against us. Because, you know, they talk about, why are you imposing your morality on us? Leave us alone. That's kind of the party line, I think, with most of the homosexual lobby.
It really is, but of course it's a fallacious kind of notion. Everyone has a morality.
Mm-hmm.
The question is which morality will be imposed. Now, I had an interesting experience in San Antonio in June. I was debating one of the Pied Pipers of same-sex marriage, a very brilliant man, homosexual, a professor at Yale University. And someone raised the question, well, it sounds like in supporting and advocating same-sex marriage and domestic partner benefits, that you're imposing morality by legislation. And his response was very telling, Kevin. He said, of course it's public morality, but we have different priests. So So he understood the religious nature of the worldview battles going on, and he was very candid. He was honest enough to admit that, of course, it's a matter of morality. It's the question of whose morality. I'll take the living God, who is kind and merciful and gentle, does not give us laws in any way are burdensome, give us his laws for our health and for our benefit, and who loves us by giving us his law. That's the design we want.
Okay. What about the other argument that says, hey, man, it doesn't harm you, and whatever I'm doing in my bedroom isn't harming you, so why are you involved in my life?
That's the old privacy argument, but I want to, whenever someone says that, you want to push them to see how far they'll really go.
Okay.
Think of dueling. What two people do in the privacy of your home doesn't have any impact.
Yeah.
Or the ultimate private intimate decision, suicide, which the United States Supreme Court has even ruled. There is no constitutional right to take your own life or to have someone assist you in taking your life.
Okay.
Now, why is that? We recognize that some conduct is disgusting. It's degrading to the culture, no matter if it's consensual, no matter if it's private.
Mm-hmm.
And so privacy really doesn't carry the weight of this particular argument. And the fact of the matter is, no Christian advocate that I know wants the government peering into bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the issue at all. We're talking about marriage, which is a public institution, not simply private conduct.
Gotcha. Okay, and finally, we only have 30 seconds left. What do you say for those who say, I was born that way, and that's just the way I'm going to be?
Well, my heart goes out to that. I want to be compassionate for someone who's like that, but it's really irrelevant to the issue.
Okay.
The fact is, whether it's nature or nurture, we're talking about a public institution, and the conduct is voluntary every time.
We are speaking with Jeff Ventrella from the Lions Defense Fund on the issue of homosexuality, an issue that is impacting your culture, and indeed, to some extent, will impact your family. We will be back with more in just a moment. Stay tuned to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Ladies and gentlemen, fathers here on the radio, and we care about the world we're leaving for our children. We assume that's why you're here, too. My name is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and we are discussing the homosexuality issue here on air on Generations with Jeff Ventrella, attorney for the Alliance Defense Fund. And Jeff, let's get back to the solutions that we can bring to the table. The average family out there may feel a little helpless on this issue, especially when you've got everybody on the liberal left and the media saying how wonderful it is. You've got the sitcoms, you've got, you know, everything basically praising homosexuality, at least on some of the higher levels. What can the average family do to fight this issue?
Well, again, they need to understand that this same-sex marriage is not inevitable. Our God reigns. They need to understand that already the United States Supreme Court has ruled that same-sex marriage is not a fundamental federal constitutional right.
Okay.
And they need to also be encouraged that whenever the state puts the matter to the people to vote, marriage is always protected in every case. And so that should give us encouragement to go ahead, roll up our sleeves, prayerfully get involved in the public squares locally to deal with these issues, whether it's the school board, whether it's the local county, whether it's the township or whatever. These matters make a difference. Small efforts make a huge difference.
Jeff, there are practical things that parents can do, even now in their homes. And when it comes down to the root cause of homosexuality, a lot of it does happen by the way that they're trained. Not to alleviate the root cause of sin in the hearts of everybody that's out there, but the fact of the matter is, there are basic family relationships that are breaking down. There are fathers that aren't loving and cherishing and spending time with their daughters. They're not spending time with their sons. They're not loving and discipling their sons as they should be. And I wonder how much of our society could be rebuilt if we began to rebuild relationships right there at the bottom level.
I think it's a great point, Kevin. And let me just say that, you know, if everyone was monogamous, you wouldn't have sexually transmitted diseases, would we?
That's right.
In the same way, I think that though sin does come from the heart, the fact is that fathers, like in many cases, have abdicated. And so when they abdicate, the next generation pays the consequence. The sins of the father are visited on the next generations. And so fathers, aside from our political activism, aside from our prayers, and aside from our faithful proclaiming of the righteousness of God in the public square, we do need to be involved in our children's lives. In particular, the father needs to step to the plate. And simply because he may be out of the home working 8 to 5 or whatever the matter is, creativity, reliance upon God,
yeah.
dependence upon the promises of God, to be involved. And that doesn't mean simply coaching soccer once a week or whatever, but spending that time delving into the heart issues, uprooting those issues, and demonstrating rather than simply telling what the gospel is in those relationships.
And, Jeff, the ultimate heart issue comes down to where the Father's at. And, you know, it takes a selflessness to walk into the life of a little boy and start working with him and encouraging him and discipling him. It takes the man, the father out there, to just abandon that selfishness and become selfless and begin to invest himself into the
Absolutely.
Lives of his children.
That is so true, because what happens is, particularly the hard-charging father, he lives by his calendar typically. Check off this, check off that. Yeah, I did this. Even his family devotions are perfunctory or checking off a checklist. The fact is, we, you know, spilled milk takes time to clean up, and we need to spend that time. We need to have that type of import. It means maybe saying no to those great tickets to the game and instead spending time throwing a frisbee in a park. It may mean saying no to that great opportunity to be a keynote speaker in a big city and instead going to the school play or to the co-op play to watch the small son do this and say, son, you did a great job. Thank you so much. Thank you for being faithful. I really enjoy what God's doing in your life. Did I tell you about the evidence of grace I saw just the other day? You did a wonderful, you persevered. God commends that. Those are the kinds of moments that will guard against homosexuality in the future generations.
Yes, and we're not just saying that we fix it at the bottom level. We work on all levels at the same time. Existentialism and selfishness and a self-centered society that kills its young and puts an okay on homosexuality is a real problem throughout our society. So we've got to get involved on all levels, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
It's maximalism.
And now, as we're wrapping it up, we only have a couple of seconds to go. There's a lot of folks, I think, that need a little hope here, because it does look like the odds are against us. But you know what? God doesn't always give us a battle that's easy, does he?
He doesn't. In fact, John Piper, the noted preacher, says that God doesn't call us to fair fights.
I like that. And this one may not be a fair fight, but we've got to get involved. And, you know, we're not the first ones in history to be up against an unfair fight. There have been lots of who have gone before us, and they have conquered, haven't they?
They have. God is faithful. And the fact is that if you look at the end of time, when God does what he does at the end of time in the book of Revelation, he talks about those on the outside of the city. And those on the outside of the city, he talks about murderers and idolaters mm-hmm. and fornicators. But the first thing he lists is the cowards.
Wow.
Those standing outside the gates. And so we've got to buck it up, if you will, and not have the fear of man. We need to fear no one but God. And if we fear no one but God, there's nothing that he can't use us to do and be pleased to do. And that does take a maximal effort to live and breathe in the presence of the holy and living God who loves us, who's patient with us, and desires to bless our children's children.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a challenge. Jeff Ventrella from the Last Defense Fund. We've got to be courageous. We've got to be very strong and go forward without being cowards and take on the challenges that God brings us in our times, as many have done before us. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today on Generations.
My privilege and my pleasure, Kevin. Keep up the good work.
Folks, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap it up on Generations. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Boy, it's been a great program today. The issue was homosexuality and with my friend Jeff Ventrella. Now, as we wrap this thing up, I want to go over some magazine titles. Have you ever seen those stupid magazines at the checkout counter in the grocery store? I know all of us wind up looking at them. We all do. Come on, let's get past the denial stage. But here are some magazines that have not come out yet. First, Selfish Magazine. You too can be your own selfish pig. If you're wondering what's in it for you, get selfish! Get Selfish Magazine and be the materialist selfish pig you always wanted to be. Okay, here's another one. Illiteracy Illustrated Magazine. Lots of pictures for all the victims of America's education system. How about Futility Magazine, the magazine that finally tells the truth about life without God? Unfortunately, Futility Magazine only had a few issues, because the staff couldn't think of a reason to live. Here's another one. The Liberal Post. We're not hiding our agenda anymore. We are liberal. We really want big government, and we want to destroy the family in America. Get liberal today. Get the Liberal Post. Okay, how about this one? Fat Magazine. Forget bodybuilding and diet magazines. Here's a magazine for those Americans who cease to make themselves a god and just want to make a god out of food. Let's keep moving here. Better Debt and Bankruptcies. How to live the good life beyond your means on credit. Subscriptions are cash only. Teen Rebellion Journal. How to shrug off all authority from autonomous authorities. Entitlement Times. How to live off the efforts of others without really lifting a finger. You could just get someone to buy you the subscription. Victim Magazine. You are one even if you don't know it. So start subscribing today to Victim Magazine. Subscribing makes you part of exploited masses. Not subscribing, you are now a victim of ignorance. So either way, you are a victim. Propaganda. All the news that we see fit to make up and spin. Postmodern Press. Destroying civilizations for over 100 years. Subscription prices are the same for everyone. Truly, really, the price policy is absolute. It's pretty good, Dave. Infanticide Magazine. Finally, a magazine for Planned Parenthood and the ACLU. Revisionist Reports. Learn the latest happenings in history. We make the old new again. And Conspiracy Chronicle. Unfortunately, potential subscribers are afraid to tell us their names or addresses, so we haven't had a subscription yet. Ladies and gentlemen, you can support our sponsors by going to our website. Please support our sponsors. It keeps us on the air. My name is Kevin Swanson. You can contact us on kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. I blog now, so you can check out my blog on the web. Join us again next week for another exciting edition of Generations. You don't want to miss a single one of these, folks. Every week, something important for you and your family. And besides, we have a lot of fun. See you next week.
Generations is produced by Christian Home Educators of Colorado, together with our fine business partners, George Sechrist Insurance, McKinney Motors, Christian Cottage Schools, Christian Liberty Academy, and Reformation Church in Castle Rock. Executive producer is Dave Buhner. You will find the products and services mentioned on this program at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Join us again next week as we continue to build for a new generation, for heaven's sake.